folks, this is Kevin. This is an unusual episode you're about to hear. Let me explain. In 2021, our team at Risk began to create a different podcast series, a series we called Real. Over the years, we've noticed many people are hesitant to listen to Risk for fear that an episode might contain something violent or sexually graphic or just dark. So we figured that if we created a series that's safe to listen to, even if your kids are within earshot, that might be nice. So the five episodes of Real that we completed in 2021 consist of stories that were originally shared on Risk, but with curse words or anything else too risky, removed. You'll notice all the music on the show was created by our own John LaSala. And the controlling idea of the Real podcast is that listening to stories and sharing stories is good for your mental health. In 2021, we were all really feeling the need for a lot of healthy self-care. So we hoped the Real podcast would speak to people in that way. Now, for various reasons, we stopped making episodes of the Real podcast after we'd completed five episodes. But seeing as how Thursdays we rerun old material here anyway, here's something old and new. We're running all five episodes of Real here in the Risk feed before the year's over, and we'd love to hear your reactions. So, without further ado, here is the fourth episode of Real. It's one we call Real Character.
Why is that doped-up child screaming about Amy Mann?
I keep trying, but things keep happening.
This can't be real.
Oh, it's real.
It felt real.
What?
Are you for real?
I don't even know what real is.
A real dog sound.
Real life.
Are you for real?
The real deal.
For real.
And
this is real.
This is Real. I'm Kevin Allison, and this is the podcast of true stories for everyone. When I was a kid, I knew I was gay. I was the kind of kid who just knew too much. It was the 70s. I mean, the gay rights movement hadn't reached Ohio. My world was conservative and religious. So I grew up scared. If my family or friends found out I was gay, would they disown me? I actually figured if I could just tell stories well enough one day, stories about how I came to realize I was gay and how I coped with it, people might get me. They might be able to relate because my emotions and reasoning might remind them of parts of themselves. That is why I love stories like this next one by the hilarious Samantha Ruddy. I love when a storyteller is basically saying, "You want to know something about who I am? Well, let me tell you about a time I learned something about who I am." Here's Samantha Ruddy now for the story we call Out and Under the Influence.
So my name is Samantha, and I went to Catholic school from the time I was 4 years old until I graduated at 18. And some people would say that I didn't come out of the closet until I was 18, but I didn't even realize I was gay. That's kind of late to not even realize. That's kind of like when Scooby and Shaggy would realize the monster's been right behind them the entire time. It's just like, but if lesbians like girls and I like a girl, then that means zoinks. Right around graduation, I started talking to this young woman online. She lived across the country, and we would stay up late talking about music and sitcoms we were into, and she would give me sage 24-year-old advice to my 18-year-old problems, and I would give her what I can only presume was god-awful 18-year-old advice to her 24-year-old problems. Eventually, the IMing turned into texting, and the texting turned into phone calls, which is a very big deal for millennials. It's actually what we do instead of marriage now. Just give somebody a call. So we got very close, and one night we were having a particularly deep conversation, and almost offhandedly, she said to me, "Hey, you know you're gay, right?" I didn't. But it made so much sense. Like, all the intense female friendships and the crushes I had developed and not understood what the feelings were. And also, me breaking up with this really cute quarterback who everyone was in love with and I just couldn't find myself interested in. I had no idea what was wrong with me, and then this was a perfect solution. Oh, I was gay. It was perfect. So I decided that I was going to just come out to everyone and everything immediately. And I mean everyone and everything. I was like literally coming out to my shower faucet. So the first person I came out to was my dad. My dad took it really well. It was great. We were playing a game of backgammon in my backyard, and I said, "Dad, I think I'm gay." And he said, "Yeah, I know. I've known since you broke up with that hot guy." And that was that. My mom wasn't as easy. My mom was a little bit skeptical. She was incredibly loving and supportive, but I could tell that she didn't really believe me. You know, she's an Italian Catholic mother, and she's very controlling. You know, she likes to be the one who's in charge of her kids' lives, and this was a ship that she really couldn't steer, which I think is why she had a hard time coming to terms with it. I decided that I didn't want to press the issue. Because you know when somebody is like, I'm straight, I swear I'm straight," you're like, "That guy's gay." I was afraid of doing the opposite. I was afraid if I was like, "I'm gay, Mom, hey, I'm gay, I swear I'm gay," she would be like, "That sounds like something a straight person would say." So I kind of just let it rest. And about a week later, I was scheduled to get my wisdom teeth out. And my mom, being the overprotective Italian mother that she is, insisted on coming into the operation room. So we're in the operation room, and the dentist comes over, and he shakes my mom's hand, he says hi to me, and he puts the mask over my face for the anesthetic. And he says to me, "Okay, so this is going to feel like you've had a couple Miller Lights," because he was like a cool dentist. And I turned to my mom, and I said, "What's a Miller Light? I've never heard of it." And it crushed. I don't think I deserved it. But I was like an 18-year-old kid, and I was about to go under for a minor surgery, so they kind of just threw me a bone. So I start counting down mentally, 5, 4, 3, 2, and right around 1, I start feeling like I've had more than a few Miller Lights. And the next thing I knew, I was coming to. I was incredibly disoriented when I came out of my anesthetic coma, I guess is the correct term. I didn't even know where I was at first. I thought that I was at home. So my mom helped me into the waiting room. She kind of picked me up by the arms and was like, "Okay, let's go to the waiting room. I'm going to fill out some paperwork because you're not capable of doing that right now." And she was right. And so I sat down, and I noticed a girl across the room. And there was something about her that I couldn't put my finger on, but I knew I had seen her before. And I'm just sort of staring this girl down. And finally, it hit me. Oh, this was a girl, Devin, who I'd gone to high school with. So I yelled across the room, "Devin!" But actually, my mouth was filled with gauze, so it kind of came out more like, "Devin! Hey, Devin!" Now, just a little background. Devin is a perfectly nice girl, but I said maybe two words to her throughout the entire course of high school. There was no reason for me to be trying to get her attention in public, let alone causing a scene to do so. I just started screaming, "Devin! Hey, Devin! Homeroom! Devin!" And she locks eyes with me, finally. And she says, "My name is Rachel." Wasn't even the right girl. So my mom sees that I'm causing a scene. And she comes over and she goes, "Hey, is everything okay?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm gay. That's Devin." In my defense, one of those things was true. So my mom was like, "Yeah, sweetheart, I know, you're gay, that's Debem, we gotta go." And I'm like, "No, you don't believe me." And my mom was like, "No, sweetheart, I believe you, come on, let's go." And I was like, "No, you don't believe me." And right then and there, I decided that I needed to prove to my mom that I was gay. Oh, calm down, it doesn't involve Debem. So I just started listing female singer-songwriters. That I was attracted to. I'm just screaming the Lilith Fair lineup. And I think my mom knew what I was doing, but everyone else in the waiting room was just like, "Why is that doped up child screaming about Amy Mann?" So finally, my mom is like, "No, we gotta go." So she helps me into the car, and as soon as we get into the car, I burst into tears. And I said, "You don't believe me." And my mom was like, "No, trust me, after that, I totally believe you." My mom sort of loosened up the reins a little bit after that. You know, she let me do things that I wasn't allowed to do. She let me drive my car with my friend 2 hours to go see one of the female singer-songwriters I had been yelling about. It was great. I had so much fun. We smoked cigarettes and we drank slushies out of colorful straws, and I immediately got dry socket. It was great. No, it was the best day of my life. And some of you might be wondering what happened to the young woman from across the country that I had been talking to. And the answer to that is that we don't actually talk online much these days because now we live in the same state. And we've been dating since I was 19. Yeah, sometimes stories have happy endings. Well, let's see how things go down the line. And that's the story of the time that my wisdom teeth came out, and so did I to everyone in a dental surgeon's office. Thanks.
Samantha Ruddy is a comedian based in New York City, dreaming that one day they'll bring back Lilith Fair. We'll be right back after this short break. And we're back. I took a creative writing class in college, and one day I turned in a short story with two characters, and I was so proud of how detailed I'd been about how these two people walked and talked and looked and whatnot. The woman who taught the class, she wasn't much older than we were, but she was brilliant. She took my story and she read a long passage to the whole room, and it was filled with all those details. But everyone was bored. And she said, "Now see that? We're not so moved by all those details because a character's true nature, who they are deep down, isn't revealed by how they look or dress. A character's essential self is in how they react to surprises." Tracy Starin tells this next story about a period in her life that was filled with surprises and what she learned about herself from her reactions. Here's Tracy now with a story we call Origin Story.
He asked, and I said yes. And it was all happening. We were celebrating with friends. We were registering for towels. We were gathering the money that we'd saved for years to buy an apartment. We were planning our honeymoon, 2 weeks in the Pacific Northwest. We hadn't had much of a chance to travel together because we were always working and going to school and saving money. And this was going to be the first of many trips we were planning. I was sending out resumes because it was time for me to take the next step in my career. We had a great life. And we had great friends who were a huge part of our lives. I was that friend that everybody called when something was going on. Will you come with me to pick out furniture? Will you read my manuscript and let me know what you think? Will you help me write my resume? We all had so many plans, and nothing seemed out of reach. One day, on our way home from going to a wedding venue, I started to notice small differences in my vision. It was just a dark spot, a small spot in the very corner of my eye. It was so small that I wasn't sure it was there. And I dismissed it. But then it grew. And I decided in the middle of the planning and the being and the having and the doing that I needed to go to an eye doctor. He took one look at my eye and he knew what it was instantly. I got my marriage license and my diagnosis on the same day. I had a neurological disorder where my head filled up with spinal fluid and it caused my optic nerves to swell. So they sent me to the hospital for treatment. I exchanged my 2 weeks in the Pacific Northwest for 2 weeks at New York Presbyterian Hospital in beautiful Washington Heights. Though by the time my ordeal was over, it would be 6 weeks in the hospital, 7 spinal taps, and 2 brain surgeries later. When I came home, everything was different. Part of my vision was gone. I had surgical wounds that were still healing, including a hole in my skull and a scalp full of staples. I had to leave my job. I couldn't go out of the house by myself. I couldn't take a shower if I was home alone because I was a falling hazard. I couldn't bend over to tie my shoes. I had been an avid reader my whole life, and now I couldn't see well enough to read books. I couldn't put a key in a lock. Simple tasks that I had done every day of my life without thinking about were now insurmountable to me. I would stab and stab and stab at a lock with the key and not be able to find the keyhole. And out of frustration and embarrassment, burst into tears until somebody came to help me. I needed help with everything, every day. One day, my husband dropped me off in front of my mother's house, and I couldn't find my way to the front door. I just stood on the curb, lost, not knowing which direction to walk in, until my husband jumped out of the car and walked me inside. And every time something like that happened, it hit us in the face how different our lives were now. My friends didn't know what to say to me. Suddenly, I wasn't as useful as I was before. Most of them said nothing. My phone stopped ringing. I stopped hearing from them. During this time, I spent a lot of time at home alone, feeling lost, feeling frustrated, feeling helpless. I spent a lot of time daydreaming and watching old movies. And one of the movies that I watched all the time was that old Superman movie with Christopher Reeve, the original one. That was actually the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater as a child, because I'm old. And it started a lifelong love of Caped Crusaders. And I started to wonder, am I in the middle of my own origin story? Superheroes' powers are revealed to them during times of extreme adversity. I thought, is that what's happening to me? Is that why this happened? Am I going to find out what my strengths are? I can't see. Maybe my senses of hearing and my sense of smell will get sharper. But no superpowers were becoming apparent. I certainly didn't have super speed. Everything in my life slowed down. And I couldn't walk through walls. I couldn't even stop myself from walking into them. It would be over a year of recovery before I would find any kind of normalcy. But with a lot of effort, my husband and I found a new normal. With my hands out in front of me, I learned my way to feel my way through the world. I felt my way across walls. With my hands on the banister, I felt my way up and down the stairs. I even was able to feel a key into the lock. The first time I did that was a personal victory. I arranged my apartment so that I knew where everything was all the time. And I learned how to do the little tasks. I learned how to adjust. I started listening to audiobooks. I learned how to need and accept help, like having somebody read me a menu in a restaurant. We coasted along in this new version of my life for quite some time. We started going to plays and movies and concerts again. 5 years, almost to the week of my first hospitalization, I had a relapse. It was more, and I came out with less vision. And this time, having to take a fistful of pills every day and having to follow up with specialists. I was weak. I was tired. It would be a much longer period of adjustment this time. At this point, I abandoned the search for superpowers. It seemed pointless to look for evidence that I could fly when I could barely stand. It would take a long time before we found that new normal again. And I lived in constant fear of another relapse. That 5-year mark came and went without another relapse, and I was very happy, but I never breathed a sigh of relief because I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And then one summer day, we were driving home from the Museum of the Moving Image, and we were in a terrible car accident. We were very, very lucky because the car was totaled, but with the exception of some bumps and bruises and some broken ribs, we literally walked away from the accident, except my hand. My right hand, my dominant hand, got mangled. My hands are how I process the world. And now I wasn't going to have my hand. I was going to have to relearn how to do everything without my eyes and without one of my hands. Once again, all those simple tasks, tying my shoes, putting a key in the lock, became insurmountable to me. I felt like without my hand, I was losing touch with the world. I was losing my grip on reality. And it was overwhelming. And again, I felt helpless, I felt lost, and I didn't know how I was going to get through it. I didn't know how I was going to adjust this time to find another new normal. It would be 8 months of physical therapy and over a dozen visits to a specialist, and I would not have the use of my hand for the better part of a year. And in the middle of it, one day, I was home alone in my living room, feeling desperate, feeling hopeless. And I walked over to the chair, and out of sheer emotional exhaustion, I didn't even sit in the chair. I slumped to a heap on the floor. And I said out loud to nobody, almost in tears, "I keep trying, but things keep happening. I keep trying, but things keep happening. I keep trying, but things keep happening." And I let out a long, low sigh. And just at that minute, the sun shifted a little bit, and a thin beam of light broke through the curtain and landed right on my leg. And I felt like I had been struck by lightning. And I thought to myself, if I shift a little bit, I can change my outlook on everything and put everything in a new light. And then I said out loud, almost exuberantly, "Things keep happening, but I keep trying. Things keep happening, but I keep trying. Things keep happening, but I keep trying." And that's when I discovered my superpower, resilience.
Tracy Starin has so many amazing stories. I wanted to check in with her about how this one in particular is so important to her.
People in general are uncomfortable around disability or any difference. And in their zeal to help you or to overcompensate for their discomfort, they will cast you as a character in their story and try to tell your story for you. And the roles that they cast you in will often be reductive and one note. They'll cast you as the sad one or the brave one, and we are so much more nuanced and complex than that. Telling origin story was the first opportunity that I had to tell my story in my voice. And there was something incredibly liberating about that.
Something liberating about it. You might think of a moment from your own life when you were really surprised. Try sharing that with someone. You might be surprised all over again. Well, we are so grateful to you for showing up with your ears and your hearts today. If you found something of value in this episode, then sharing Real with your friends and family might just open up real possibilities in their lives. And there's more to come. Next time on the podcast, we'll hear from Summer Gilmore and Sam Mullins.
I was learning how to handle my voice cracking. You know, the secret to not having your changing voice crack is to just not be excited or enthusiastic about anything, ever. You know?
Public embarrassments on the next episode of Real. Real is brought to you by the same folks who produce the podcast Risk, but that show occasionally includes stories that are not safe for work, as they say. Real is not a kid's show, but it's pretty safe to be playing if your kids are in earshot. That's why we say Real is true stories for everyone. So spread the word to everyone on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're at RealPodOfficial, and our website is realpodofficial.com. If you think you might like to give storytelling a try or learn about our corporate workshops, visit our school at thestorystudio.org. Special thanks on this episode to our storytellers, of course, and to our producer, composer, and audio editor, John LaSala. And once again, to you. Remember, listen, share, and be real.